field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. The word of the Lord. When it's worth the cost. It's the title of our message for today. When it's worth the cost. Today, our text presents a teaching method employed by Jesus, the use of parables. Parables are stories or examples of familiar or common experiences used to explain things or to make a point. Most scholars suggest that Jesus' teachings in parables is the most authentic representation of his teaching. Jesus uses parables to teach his disciples about God, the kingdom, faith, and discipleship. He would take something familiar, like weeds or sowing seeds, mustard seeds or yeast, and use those familiar things to drive home a spiritual lesson. Sometimes the meaning of the parable is hidden, and so later on Jesus provides the interpretation for his disciples, as in the parable of the sower. He gives the interpretation later. In Matthew 13, Jesus uses parables to explain some principles about the kingdom of heaven. He wants his disciples to understand what the kingdom is like. One of the principles he teaches about the kingdom of heaven is that the kingdom is coming, that the full reign of God is near. It's not far off in the distance. The reign of God is near. He teaches what life is like in the kingdom, that there are different values that reflect the kingdom of God. And then he teaches what it takes to be a part of the kingdom. So some parables are on discipleship and stewardship, lessons of what it means to be a part of God's kingdom. So Jesus uses parables as a source of information and a source of transformation, so that when you know about the kingdom, you should be changed by what you know about the kingdom. Our text today combines two more parables about the kingdom, and these parables highlight the transforming power of God. Let's look at the text more closely and glean some insights about the kingdom. We notice two men in the text, two men from different stations in life. The text says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. And then it goes on to say, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. So two men from very different stations in life. First, there is the plowman who works in a field. The second man is a merchant who deals with pearls. They are different. They are different in the way they make their living. One is a laborer and one is an entrepreneur, a businessman. One works for somebody else and one works for himself. And we can assume that their wages are different. This plowman, this field worker probably makes a lot less money than the merchant. We can assume that the merchant is wealthy and that the plowman is making just enough to survive day by day. The plowman or the laborer is doing regular work, but the merchant is a businessman. So two men come from very different stations in life. What is the lesson about the kingdom? The lesson about the kingdom is the kingdom is accessible to folk on all levels. The kingdom does not discriminate on the basis of socioeconomic background. You can be poor and have access. And you can be wealthy and have access. You can be educated or uneducated. Access to the kingdom is available for persons on all levels, for the laborer, the plowman, and for the businessman. The other week I was talking with a neighbor about the meaning of the phrase and movement Black Lives Matter. And my neighbor said, Ricky, don't all lives matter? And I said, of course. I said, but the point is, under the banner of the American flag, certain principles are represented. Those principles teach that all Americans have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. All Americans deserve to have proper treatment by police officers. And when Black people are systematically denied their rights and are treated differently by the police, that sends the message that their lives and their rights don't matter. And I said the movement is trying to shine a light on the mistreatment of Black people by the police and the need to honor the values that the American flag represents. That's the point. It's about inclusion and it is about equal justice. That's what I said to my neighbor. And you know, when we look at what's happening in Portland, Oregon, and all these clashes with the federal officers that are there in Portland, and how they're treating the people, hauling folk off in unmarked cars, the tear gas and all that stuff. We see what's happening in Seattle, Washington with the marches there that are continuing. It's all about access. It's all about inclusion. It's all about working so that everybody in this country has the same access and the same treatment. So in the kingdom, access is open to everyone. No one is denied a place in the kingdom on the basis of their station in life. But we also see a distinction in how these two men discover their treasure. Because the text says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. And then it goes on to say, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. Now look at this. The plowman or the laborer isn't looking for treasure. He is simply working in a field. And as he works, he stumbles upon the treasure. The treasure is already in the field. The plowman happens upon the treasure and is suddenly confronted by a rare find. The plowman puts in effort. His effort is to till the field, not to find treasure. While his mind is on one thing, he is confronted by something he doesn't expect. Sometimes you're not looking for something and things just show up and confront you. But the businessman, the merchant, is different. His business is fine pearls. And as a part of his business, he travels around in search of fine pearls. He's looking for something special. What he gets comes from a focused search. The merchant wants fine pearls, so he looks for fine pearls. Now, another thing about this plowman, this laborer, he isn't working in his own field. So his discovery is not his to take. He's working in another man's field. So there's an ethical component as it relates to this plowman. It's all right that he discovers the treasure by accident, but where he discovers it is an issue. The treasure is in someone else's field. But what the merchant discovers as he travels around belongs to him for the right price. So what is the lesson about the kingdom of God and how these men discover their treasure? The lesson is there are different ways to discover the kingdom. Some folk are not looking for the kingdom. Some folk are not looking for something special. They are just busy with the everyday routines of life. And as they go about their routines, they are confronted with the reality of the kingdom. Sometimes the kingdom doesn't confront us on our own turf. Sometimes we're at a place for a certain purpose, and before we know it, the kingdom breaks in on us. That's what happens to the plowman. He stumbles upon the kingdom of God. But the merchant teaches that in the kingdom, there are some people who are seeking to find something special. They are actively pursuing the kingdom. They are looking for answers. They are looking for something valuable. And because they keep seeking, they find the kingdom of God. Beloved, we've got people out there who are just busy with life and don't know that the kingdom of God is near them. We've got folk out there, on the other hand, who are seeking a word from the Lord. They are searching for something that has purpose and something that has meaning. Being on YouTube Live has been an eye-opening experience, because one thing about it is that's good about it is how the system tracks our viewers. Reverend Spears and I look at the analytics for our broadcast, and so we can see how many viewers there are. We can see the age ranges. We can see the length of viewing. We can see so many things. We can see whether someone simply typed in Baptist or church in Austin and found our website by chance, or whether someone intentionally tuned in to worship with us. Now, the analytics are important because some people are just on the internet. They are not looking for anything in particular. They are just surfing. And beloved, we've got to reach the surfers with our message, with our ministry, with our outreach. We've got to reach folk who don't know the kingdom is around them, who are just searching for something, who are surfers. We've got to reach them. And then there are folk who are seeking faith, seeking the kingdom, seeking a way out of despair, seeking a relationship with God. And we should offer something to the seekers looking for something of value. There's somebody that wakes up on Sunday morning saying to themselves, is there any word from the Lord? And when they wake up with that question, we had better answer them. We had better have a word from the Lord. It doesn't matter how we discover the kingdom, whether we stumble upon it or whether we seek it out intentionally, the kingdom is good either way. So you see these men from two different stations in life, teaching that access is available to everybody. And you see the different ways these two men discover the kingdom. One stumbles upon it, the other one seeks it out intentionally. But then finally, one thing that I like about the story is that we see the same response from both men. Listen to the conclusion of both of the parables Jesus combines. The text says, which someone found and hid, then in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. That's for the plowman. And then of the merchant, on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. How interesting that despite the difference in their backgrounds and despite the differences in how these men discover their treasure, their response is the same. The plowman, knowing that the field doesn't belong to him, hides the treasure again. Isn't that interesting? He buries it again. Of course, he runs the risk that someone else might find the treasure. He then goes out, sells everything that he has, and buys the field. I think it's interesting that he doesn't take the treasure that he has found and use that treasure to buy the field. He puts the treasure back in the field and buries it, and then goes out and sells everything he already has and buys the field. But then the merchant has the same response. Once he finds a pearl of great price and great value, he goes out and sells everything he has to buy that pearl. Both men do the same thing. This suggests, beloved, that when you find something that is worth the cost, you do whatever you can to obtain it. And I like what Jesus shows us, because both men sell everything they have. We don't know how long it took for them to sell everything. Clearly, the merchant is experienced with buying and selling. He's been buying and selling pearls for some time. That's his business. But the plowman is a field worker. And how long do they have to work to sell everything. I don't know how long they have to work, but no matter how much time it takes, they both put in the time, because putting in the time is worth the cost in the end. Both men understand the value of what they discovered. The plowman says to himself, since I found this treasure, there might be more treasure in the field. So let me go and buy the whole field. The merchant knows fine pearls. So when he finds a top-notch pearl, he says to himself, this pearl is of more value than everything else I've got. And I like the fact that neither man waits around to decide what to do. Their responses are instantaneous. So that when you are presented with a good thing, you've got to grab it right away. Don't let the good thing get away from you for procrastinating and wasting time. Sometimes you've got to grab it right away. What is the lesson about the kingdom of God? The lesson is, when you discover the value of the kingdom, you realize the kingdom demands your all. When you find the worth of the kingdom, you're willing to drop everything and work for it. The kingdom demands not a partial commitment, but a full commitment. And when you see the value of the kingdom, you're willing to give up everything you have for the kingdom of God. The lesson is, it costs to be a part of the kingdom. And the cost is giving everything to Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God demands our full attention. The reality is, these men understand what they get, that what they get in the end is worth more than what they have in the beginning. The kingdom brings rewards and blessings that we have not imagined. When it's worth it, when it's worth the cost, you give your all. I remember the story of Jacob and Rachel and Leah. And Jacob goes to his kinsman's house, Laban, to work for him. And Laban says to Jacob, because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? The Bible says, now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. The Bible says Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Leah had good-looking eyes, but that's it. But Rachel was graceful and beautiful. But Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. And Laban said, it's better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed to him but a few days because of the love that he had. Well, I tell you, when it's worth the cost, you'll work the time. And you don't mind working the time because you know what you're getting in the long run. And so Laban gathered together all his people when Jacob said, give me my wife that I may go into her, that my time is completed. But in the evening, Laban took his people to the place and made a feast. In the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, the one with the pretty eyes. And he went into her, and Laban gave his maid Zilpah to her, his daughter Leah, to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, what is this you've done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me? Laban said, this is not done in our country, giving the younger daughter before the firstborn. He should have said that up front. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other one also in return for serving me another 7 years. So Jacob did so and completed her week, and Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife. What am I trying to say? Jacob works 7 years only to get Leah, the one with the beautiful eyes. Leah isn't too bad, but she ain't Rachel. And Jacob works an additional 7 years to finally get Rachel. The cost is worth it. And when the cost of the kingdom becomes worth it, then you're willing to give your all for the kingdom of God. Beloved, we are not serving just for today. We are serving for the future. And our pay does not come in cash, does not come in a check on the 1st and the 15th of the month. Our pay comes in glory. What we do down here is worth the cost. It's worth the heartaches. It's worth the struggles. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth all the burdens we bear because we know that God has something better prepared for us. And so Paul tells us, don't worry about what you're going through. Don't worry about what you're experiencing right now, because by and by there's something better for all of us. And Paul says, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But then he says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Beloved, it is worth the cost to give your all to the kingdom of God. You can never put in more than you get out of it. The more you do for God, the more God blesses you. The more you offer to God, the more God works through you. The more you trust God, the more God makes a way for you. Nobody can take care of you like God can. Nobody can bless you like God can. Nobody can walk with you like God can. Nobody keeps his word like God can. And that's why I suggest to you, when it's worth the cost, give it your all. The poet said, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. Wherever you are, the kingdom is near. The kingdom is with you. You don't have to worry about stumbling. You can reach out and be a part of the kingdom. Just before our benediction, let me remind you of our Men's Day plans. Our men will be having a special prayer service on Wednesday, August 5th from 7 until 7:30. They invite you to join them. The numbers will be on your screen. And they encourage you to share your gifts for Men's Day. You may mail your gifts into the church or contact your captain, or give online, and we encourage you to share your resources and blessings with us as we celebrate Men's Day. Our guest preacher will be Dr. Ivy Rich, and we look forward to his message and to the worship that our men will prepare and bring to us. We also want to remind you that our youth are having and planning a forum entitled I Can Breathe. They want to have a conversation with law enforcement persons and an attorney to talk about interacting with the police, what their rights are, how to be careful. And so please note that and be a part of that event as well. And then, of course, we want to remind you to be in prayer again for the family of Sister Allie Faye Johnson. A public viewing will be on Wednesday, July 29th from 4 to 7, King Tears, and the graveside service Thursday, July 30th at 10 a.m., Cook Walden Memorial Hill Cemetery on North I-35.